So what's the big problem with wealth creation? How do people like us, who didn't inherit a boatload of money, who are investing and building wealth from our own blood, sweat, and tears, how do we invest in a way that gives us remarkable results and become financially free before retirement age? I don't know about you, but I am sick of hearing from wealth gurus and experts who don't walk their own talk and prescribe strategies that are a one-size-fits-all approach. For self-made people like you and me, I'm here to tell you that you don't need to be superhuman or already wealthy to reach financial freedom earlier than 65. This is the Alternative Investing Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode, I want to unpack the question of why do rich people continue to invest? It is definitely a question I have been asked many, many times over the last decade. I am really fortunate that over the years, I've cultivated a circle of people that I know, like, and trust, who have become friends in some cases and who are financially independent, and in some cases were financially independent in a prior generation. So the question that a lot of people in my community often ask me as they come in and get introduced to these people in the context of them being deal makers, if they're so wealthy, why do they continue to invest? So I thought it would be a really fun episode to unpack why. And some of you may be listening to this thinking, well, this hasn't really got anything to do with me. I'm still trying to create financial freedom. But the reason that I feel this is a really important concept for everyone listening today is that often we frame up the game of wealth building as if it's only about getting from where we are to some level of financial independence. And for sure, that is the toughest part of the game and it matters greatly. But the idea that I want you to kind of consider is, what if that were only part of the game? You know, I think that many people assume, particularly people who are not interested in wealth building, that if you continue to invest past the point of financial independence, then it must be driven by greed or, you know, a desire for power. And, you know, for sure, I am certain there are cases where that is true. But I would actually say within my own circle, it is not true for the vast majority. And, you know, I would really love to pull apart at least five things that I think are probably bigger motivators for wealthy and ultra wealthy people when they're thinking about investing and asset management. So the first thing that I would say is that the number one common thread that I have heard repeatedly amongst a lot of very wealthy independent people is that, number one, you are never done. Now, the reason you become wealthy in the first place is because you see wealth and investing and the growth of money as fundamental to the care of money. And if that is true, then, you know, first of all, why would you ever stop? The story that I want to share on this is one of my trusted advisors, a guy by the name of Mark, has been someone who is first generation wealth. He had a very difficult childhood. He certainly did not come from money and he's very much self-made. He's been financially independent for years, decades now. And his views now on, you know, why he continues to invest is largely driven by his views on financial legacy. He is really committed to creating wealth that endures long after he is gone. So he sees himself as a mentor and a shepherd guide to everyone in his family and greater community. And he very much advocates for this idea of, you are never done. You never want to take for granted that you've kind of hit the finish line and that there's nothing left to do. And I think this is a really important one for everyone. Even if you have this arbitrary, you know, goal in terms of either net worth or passive income, you're never really done. It's not as if once you hit that goal that the care of money just falls away. The responsibility to continue to manage and grow wealth will continue long into the future. So I think that's a really important one to remember. You are never done. The second thing that I would pull out of conversations that I've had with a lot of wealthy individuals is that the journey is the destination. So I was at a conference very recently in the States. One of my mentors was one of the keynote speakers, and he kind of made a comment during his presentation that the journey is the destination. And, you know, he's someone who has definitely been a student of investing all his life and continues to be. Certainly never advocates that he knows it all. And he is, I think, hands down, one of the most money conscious
frugal individuals that I've met. I remember years ago, he and his wife took me out to dinner, and knowing the sort of wealth level that he had, I was half expecting that they'd turn up in a Rolls Royce or something like that. And in fact, they turned up in a pretty beaten up 20-year-old Mazda or something like that. I can't even remember. It was quite a shock to see him driving such an old car. But one of the things that was always very clear, and that he's a great spokesperson on, is that beyond a certain point, money is not the motivator. Having fancy stuff never mattered to him, and that the journey of continuously building wealth was far more important. And, you know, you would see this in people like Warren Buffett, where as one of the world's wealthiest people, he continues to live a very frugal life. And in fact, the media have created quite a kind of, I guess, library of habits and, I guess, decisions that he's made that have kept him almost living at the same standard for the last 40 plus years. And so I think, yeah, if you can embrace this idea that the journey is the destination, I think not only does it make, you know, the idea of wealth building, you know, it gives it context, but it also allows you to stop hanging your hat on this one day when I reach this point, then I'll be content, then I'll be happy. And, you know, if you see the journey as the destination, I guess it ties into the first part, which is you're never really done. The third, I guess, observation that I have of the ultra wealthy around this topic of why they continue to build wealth is they love the play. So when I was in New York recently, one of my trusted advisors, who is a second generation wealth recipient, you know, I was observing him kind of communicate with everyone in our tribe. And, you know, one of the things that was just, I guess, so sweet and fabulous to observe was just how much unmasked glee and enthusiasm he had about the deal making, the putting together of deals, the finding of deals, the problem solving when things go wrong. And his candid enthusiasm for the play of deal making, like, was not lost on anyone, and very infectious. And, you know, he's neither arrogant, he's very humble around money. And I genuinely see it in him probably more than anyone else, that this love of the play is really why he gets up out of bed every day, why he is looking for like-minded people to play the game with him. And imagine, if you will, for a moment, even the simple game of Monopoly. Have you ever played Monopoly with people who are awful to play with, where there's no sense of fun? It's so serious and cutthroat, or the attitude they bring to the game makes it very dull. So if you think about the way these deal makers think, they too are looking for people, like-minded people, who want to have some fun and play the game with them. And the reason I bring this up is that a lot of the trusted advisors in my network, anyway, they don't really need our money. They're really looking, as I said, for like-minded people. And most people understand this, and I say this like a broken record, there is more capital in the world looking for good deals than there are good deals. So someone like this guy, who has the trifecta, he has an epic strategy. He has an amazing gift for finding great deals, and he has an ability to kind of create, you know, a very de-risked opportunity, even in very volatile times, means that there are people who are tripping over themselves to get into his deals. And because he loves the play, he's looking for people who also love the play. So I think that's a really important one to kind of focus on. And number four is really about the, you know, the focus of your impact. Again, I've met many investors who hit some level of financial freedom years or decades ago, continue to remain active as investors, primarily because the game that they are playing has become much bigger. I met with an investor recently that I've known for a few years, and he hit financial freedom, I'm going to say about 7 years ago, and his focus has become entirely philanthropic. He has started orphanages. He has made sizable donations in his local community. community. He has mentored a lot of people. And the reason he continues to invest is because he wants to grow his impact. There's only a certain number of days that we have on the planet. And in his words, you know, you want to have as much impact as you possibly can with the time that you have left. You know, he's an ex-dentist. And as much as he loved his practice and his patients, he certainly felt the burden of having to get up and do the same thing every day for decades. So for him, financial freedom was definitely the opening up of a shift in not only how he spent his time, but the impact that he was able to choose in the world. So again, a really important one. And then finally, number five, the thing that I would call this one is anchor. There are a lot of ultra wealthy people that I know, and they probably wouldn't articulate it this way. This is more my observation, but retirement for a lot of people is a dirty word. And as I said already, a lot of people think of it as the end game, but a lot of ultra wealthy people try not to retire at all. And in fact, you know, investing becomes this critical anchor to keep the mind active, to help others, to give them purpose. And if you think about the opposite of this, where people kind of hold retirement up as the holy grail, and they're looking for, you know, a way to hit retirement as early as possible, only to see them fall off a cliff because they don't have enough depth of meaning that they can derive from their hobbies or their circle of friends. And so for a lot of people, particularly in my community, a lot of people are really interested in developing investments which give them financial freedom much sooner than retirement age. So that, number one, they can continue to be investors as their hobby, if you like, in retirement, but more so they can take on the other elements that I mentioned today in terms of impact and play and so forth. So kind of just to round out this podcast episode, it's really important to understand you are never done as an investor. There's always more to manage. There's always a lot to take care of. And frankly, if you are even just looking after your wealth, you must expect growth, because without growth, you are only going into decline. You know, as many of you are aware, we're living in a high inflationary environment right now. If you are not growing your wealth, you are moving backwards. You are losing wealth. So anyway, guys, I hope this was both interesting and, but more importantly, that you were able to glean some lessons for yourself. And continue to send in your questions and give me feedback on topics that you'd like to hear more on. But till next time, take care.
You've been listening to the Alternative Investing Podcast. If you're feeling frustrated that despite doing everything right in the property investing playbook and you're no closer to financial freedom, then head on over to IncosiWealth.com to learn more about how you can use alternative investments to catapult your investing income and blend strategies to shave decades off your timeline to financial freedom. See you on the next episode.